What child doesn't dream of reading government workbooks and solving nonsensical math problems? Common Core. Because all the good little communist countries are doing it. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
I brought up the subject of what's going to happen after we take over the government. We become responsible then for administrating, 250 million people. And there was no answers. No one had given any thought to economics. How are you going to clothe and feed these people? The only thing that I could get was that they expected that the Cubans and the North Vietnamese and the Chinese and the Russians would all want to occupy different portions of the United States. They also believed that their immediate responsibility would be to protect against what they called the counter-revolution. And they felt that this counter-revolution could best be guarded against by creating and establishing re-education centers in the Southwest, where we would take all the people who needed to be re-educated into the new way of thinking and teach them how things were going to be. I ask, well, what is going to happen to those people that we can't re-educate, that are die-hard capitalists? And the reply was that they'd have to be eliminated. And when I pursued this further, they estimated that they would have to eliminate 25 million people in these re-education centers. And when I say eliminate, I mean kill. 25 million people. I want you to imagine sitting in a room with 25 people, most of which have graduate degrees from Columbia and other well-known educational centers, and hear them figuring out the logistics for the elimination of 25 million people. And they were dead serious.
Hi there, welcome, Kate Daly Show. That was Larry Grathwall, FBI informant on Bill Ayers' Weather Underground. From several decades ago. And it was, that's why he said the population was 250 million. Kind of interesting, right? And the overthrow of the United States they had planned and how they were working in concert with each other to do it and what their plans for the future were. And it's really, really scary stuff, actually. So I just had to play that for you. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. I'm glad that you're tuned in. And Melissa joins me, and I'm really happy to have Melissa on because we're going to be talking about a subject, and we actually are hoping you chime in and give some other points of reference on this too, because I know you've got them. We've got such a great audience and an alert and awake audience, not a woke one. Oh my gosh. I'm so happy about that. Woke means you're just, a product of the media. Awake means you're actually seeing it for what all this is. And I welcome Melissa to the show. We have a lot to talk about, don't we?
Yeah. Hey, I'm just wondering, did Bill Ayers and his cronies, did they contemplate Zyklon B?
Zyklon B?
Yeah, you know what that is?
No,
that's what the Nazis used in the gas chambers.
Oh, yes. Okay.
How are they any different?
Interesting. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, so true. In fact,
we have 25 million people to kill. We have to have an efficient killing machine and a way to dispose of them. That is absolute Nazi thinking.
Ouch. Yeah, for sure. In fact, I welcome your calls, 888-673-1450. You can call from anywhere in the nation right now. 888-673-1450. Welcome your calls. And so, Melissa, where do we start on this hour? Where do we start?
Well, I think I want to start with this little story that everybody knows, because I think it's a paradigm that will help us understand the bigger picture.
Okay.
And it's the story of David and Goliath.
Okay.
So here's Goliath on the hillside, and he's big and in armor.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to fight. He's used to fighting his game, right?
Mm-hmm.
He knows how it goes. Here's David. And the first thing that King Saul does is offers him armor. And if I recall all the details of the story correctly, David initially puts it on and then just says, this isn't going to work.
Right.
This is just not going to work. And so David does something interesting. He picks up the stones and he determines to play the game on his turf.
Okay.
He's going to play the game his way. And he rushes out at Goliath, and immediately kind of the tables turn. Goliath is kind of unhinged because the way he's used to fighting now doesn't work.
Okay.
Right? And we know that David has a big victory against Goliath. So we all know that story. We've heard it a million times. It's the underdog against the giant, right? Mm-hmm. And we all want to root for the underdog. Now, I've been doing some, it's kind of grim reading this week. And I spent some time reading a document called Decoding the Next Strategic Shock, Unwriting the Future. And this he's a military general, and he's talking about strategic shocks that come to us in what he calls the gray zone. And if you keep in mind that kind of David and Goliath story, I think you'll get the parallel here pretty quick. But strategic shocks are, according to him, they are the events that punctuate the evolution of a trend. If we go back to David and Goliath, you know, the Philistines have been fighting the Israelites, and it's been going and going and going and going, right? Mm-hmm. That's the trend. And then comes a discontinuity that either rapidly accelerates its pace or significantly changes its trajectory, and in so doing determines the assumption on which current policies are based.
Hmm.
So I want you to think about how 9/11 was a strategic shock.
Yeah.
There had been a trend that had been developing. There had been friction between Al-Qaeda, radical Islam. There were people who were predicting, and actually I heard one of those predictions when I was still working for the federal government, that there was going to be an event. Nobody knew exactly what it was going to be, but they knew there was going to be something.
Okay.
Okay. And when it came, when it finally came, in the form of 9/11, it was a strategic shock, meaning all of us were unprepared. No one had really considered that such a thing could happen to us. Boom, done. Now what do we do next?
Right. Okay.
So the first thing we have to understand is strategic shock and the value of a strategic shock, because afterward, nothing is ever the same again.
Well, I have to agree. And, you're right, because it's the moving of the goalposts, too, a little bit. It's like, you know, yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
For sure. Okay, the next thing that General, his name is Kuster, was talking about is that strategic shocks happen in what he calls the gray zone. In asymmetric warfare, when one side is heavily advantaged, like Goliath, and the other side has very little to work with, then they know that if a straight-on confrontation cannot work for them. So they look for operations in what he calls the gray zone. Mm-hmm. And the gray zone means it allows state and non-state actors to challenge with minimal risks of creating a situation where the military can respond.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's sometimes we don't even know diplomatically who to respond to, but you can't really call out the military. Okay. That's the gray zone.
Sure.
And, you know, that's also 9/11 is a great paradigm to understand the gray zone. Like, who do we go to say, wait a minute, this was unjust, or this is, you know, who do you respond to militarily? Who do you respond to diplomatically? It was asymmetric warfare, and it was done in the gray zone, because now everybody's just like, well, what do we do now? Mm-hmm. Right?
Sure.
And so I want to suggest to the audience here today, maybe you're looking at it the same way I am, or maybe not, that what we're seeing with Antifa across the country.
Okay.
Is meant to be strategic shock in the gray zone.
Okay, yeah, I can I can get that. Sure.
Taking the this whole thing in Seattle, the Chaz district, is a strategic shock.
Right.
Can the military respond to it?
Yeah.
Who do you go to protest about it? Who? I feel terrible for the people who were stuck inside that zone, who were not a party to it. But this is how people, without all of the funding and the power of the United States military, respond.
Right.
So it's, to me, it suggests a lot of questions.
Yeah, it
Who's
does.
Behind it? Who's really behind it? And interestingly enough, I think we have come to a place in our history right now. Mm-hmm. And this is a comment from Amazing Polly, a blogger, and I this is so truthful.
Yeah, she's great. Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's an intermingling of elements right now. Ideologically bonded groups, meaning they all are working together, using each other to attack simultaneously. Meaning Black Lives Matter is affiliated with Antifa, who's affiliated with radical environmentalists, who are affiliated with radical animal rights activists, who are affiliated with hardcore abortion support. They're all working together
Who are affiliated, I mean, I even see the affiliations even with COVID with the health departments and the people that run the hospitals. It's like it trickles on down, you know what I mean? It's crazy.
Yeah. So we are, you and I were talking just before we came in for the hour. I feel like American society is being attacked on every side.
It is. It is.
That is for sure a sign that we have an insurgency and that they are using asymmetric warfare. They want to fight us on our own soil. This is something the American military, the CIA, has done these kind of ops for generations, for decades.
Sure.
And now it's being turned on us.
That's true. It is. And I think we have to realize that our country is ripe for the events going on as far as a takeover. You know, the same playbook, and we tried to bring this up last week, the same playbook that's used is the same playbook that's happening to us right now. The same playbook that happens in these other countries by us is happening to us. And I think that's where the big wake-up call is like, oh my gosh, if we don't start standing up and pulling our heads out and realizing what we're up against right now, we're going to be sucked right into that. We'll be right back with Melissa. Great points, Melissa. We'll be right back. KateDallyRadio.com. Don't go anywhere.
Lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Hi there. Welcome back. Kate Daly Show here. And of course, we'll take your calls. 888-673-1450. 888-673-1450. By the way, get over to Balance of Nature, balanceofnature.com. I highly, highly recommend this supplement. The reason being is when I looked into it, I was really impressed with how much they added into it for the very, very low cost. I hadn't seen another supplement like that. And also there's a drink that comes with it that's full of minerals and the vitamins and everything that easily absorbs into your system that you need to keep your blood sugar balanced and all of those types of things. And so it's helping people kick the diabetic medication. It's helping people to do so many things for their health. And I thought, I had listened to some of the testimonials. I have some friends on it. And I thought, when I talked to my friends, they're like, oh yeah, I've been on it 20 years. That's why I never get sick. And then I started thinking about it. I was like, they never do get sick. That's weird. Wow. They don't take sick days. And so it shocked me. And so my husband and I started taking it. We loved it. And I talk about them on the show for a reason. You need to have the supplement. You should be taking a supplement. Our food supply is not doing it for you. And we've got to increase our immunity for all the things coming, even with the implementation of 5G. And I say that in all seriousness because of what it can do to you physically. There are different kinds of 5G, but there's some very dangerous kinds that you need to be very aware of. And I do think that the upping of the immune system can certainly help. Go to balanceofnature.com. Make sure that you're putting in the code Kate, my first name, K-A-T-E. It's the Kate Daly Show. And put in Kate, and you'll get 35% off and free shipping. Take advantage of that. You need to. You need to for your health. And they'll give you a free health coach to talk to, too. So it's awesome. Balanceofnature.com. Melissa, I've got you back. And so much to talk about with this because you're bringing up some great points. I'm also going to take callers. If you'd like to chime in and share some expertise on this topic, you're more than welcome. Or ask questions, 888-673-1450. But this warfare, this situation that we're in, and you're right, it's exhausting. And you know what? Let's start out with a phone call, shall we, Melissa?
Sure.
All right. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead. You're on with Melissa.
Hi, Kate.
Hi there.
Hi, Melissa. I love you, Melissa.
Aww.
The things you come up with are just marvelous.
That's so sweet.
At any rate, the reason they're doing this is it creates disorientation.
Mm-hmm.
It's why they're going through the process they're going through is if you can keep people off balance,
yes.
If you can keep them disoriented, then they're so much more easily manipulated. We're kind of like the frog in the proverbial pot of water. We're not thrown into a boiling pot.
Right.
We're put in the pot, and then the heat is increased by dynamic increases until we boil to death. And,
right.
And this is what is happening to America right now. And if people don't wake up and realize that we've got to start to push back, we will never, ever, well, we'll never see America the way it was, but we'll see no America.
Right. Well, amen.
And I,
go ahead.
I agree totally. And part of the game plan with a strategic shock is that it creates changes in society that we must react to. And if you look at what's happened here recently, Antifa and the rioting and the looting,
mm-hmm.
you can't just turn around and say, oh, I'm not worried about that.
Right.
If they are forcing all of us into certain positions.
Mm-hmm.
For example, you cannot right now disagree about Black Lives Mattering.
Right.
Well, you can if you want to lose your job. Or if you want to be ostracized by everybody left and right. And this is really the problem, is that if you've lost your ability at free speech, then it finally gets to the point to where if you speak out, you're simply eliminated.
Interesting.
Well,
all right. Thank you for the call. I really love it. Go ahead, Melissa.
We have developed now a system of self-censorship that is so powerful.
Yeah. We're doing it to ourselves.
I think... For example, you can no longer say all lives matter.
Yeah.
That is an indication, so I'm told, that is an indication of your white privilege.
Yeah.
If you think that all lives matter.
We're training ourselves to be politically correct. I have another caller for you. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Here's Melissa. There you go.
Hey, you guys. How are you today?
Good. How are you? Go right ahead.
I'm really good. So despite the major distraction... I feel that we're all just living in right now.
Yeah.
I do feel that there is a lot of realness, you know, Antifa is real, the virus is real, but I do feel like I'm in some big distraction, right now. It's like an alter ego. It's like someone really pissed somebody off. I don't know.
Right.
Anyways, I just wanted to say that I live in a pretty safe place. Not sharing my name on here, so
sure.
I'm safe, but living in St. George, I've always felt really safe. Living in Utah, I've always felt really safe. But, you know, no one's ever personally attacked me or anything physically. But I have become attacked verbally several times over the last couple weeks, especially during all this craziness expressing my support for the president. And so I have had stuff on my car.
Wow.
Trump magnet, Trump face, funny faces of him just to show our support and just have some fun because we love our president.
Right.
And I have never had any problems up until the last couple weeks where I was there was a guy at Walmart that was just giving me grief. And at that point, I felt that it was time to intuitively take my stuff off of my car and keep myself and my family safe. It's not even about people saying F you. Mm-hmm. It's about people literally out there that are like stationing themselves to hurt people because of what they stand for as far as Christian beliefs, political beliefs, you know, whatever.
Right. The bullies. Like, they're bullies.
Crazy. Yeah, they're bullies. Mm-hmm. And one more thing, too, real quick, is my Trump flag that I had out front on the front of our townhome was stolen in broad daylight last week. And it's just crazy.
Wow.
I just think, you know, I've heard of those things happening. You know, it's not like it doesn't happen.
Right.
But and when it starts hitting like a safe, quiet town, when things start happening, you know that crap's getting real. Like things are really something is really
it's
coming.
Hitting home.
For years now I have felt something coming. And when the whole pandemic started, I thought to myself, my intuition was like, this is it. This is what you have had anxiety for like 5-10 years. This is it.
Wow.
And there's no going, you know, I don't believe saying new normal, but this is definitely something.
Thank you for that.
Something different than we've ever seen, I think.
Thank you. Thanks for the call. Really appreciate it. Hang in there. Thank you. And you know, the difference is that when I see a Prius with I love climate change and Ellen Rocks bumper stickers and, you know, all of these very woke things on the Prius, I laugh to myself, but I don't go violent on somebody or tear them apart. But like when I said about the bullies, these bullies are very real on the other side. They do not allow you to have this voice that she was just talking about. What do you think, Melissa?
Well, I think we've seen a lot of words. We talked last week about cultural Marxism and how they took over certain words like freedom and equality.
Sure.
So there has been a legitimizing of violence through this because, and this is what I mean by there's a lot of people or there's a lot of different organizations that are working together. There's the intermingling of elements. So when the mayor of Seattle says, I think it's fine if they want to set up an autonomous zone and I don't want Trump to come in here. And if they want to burn the whole place down, that's great. Or we've heard of mayors in other places saying, just let them riot. It's okay. Right. It's a vent, whatever. They're legitimizing violence.
Yeah.
And you cannot speak back to that.
No, you're right. You're
because
so right.
Yeah. The political correct thing to do now is to apologize for what you've done to offend the other person.
Right.
Your very existence has now offended someone.
Yeah, and it's very, very one way. I have another caller for you. Caller, go right ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon to you.
Hi.
I have so much I'd like to say on this. First of all, Daniel, wasn't it Daniel who said, dare to be bold? We don't, anybody knows what's going on. You don't allow them to close down our speech.
Right.
You don't intimidate. We got to dare to be bold.
Right.
That speech is one of the ways they're taking away our freedoms here. Now, what's going on, and I assume you probably know about the Hegelian dialectic, Melissa. It's the thesis and antithesis and the synthesis, or you can say it in simpler terms, the problem, reaction, and solution. That's what's going on here as one of the main techniques. The other technique it's being used, you've talked about, is the pincer strategy. Are either one of you familiar with the pincer strategy?
I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not either.
Ben McClinton once mentioned on your show, they control what appears to be the street reaction. It's the power from above, the elitists, and the power from below that are pinching the citizens in the middle.
They're pinching
and
something.
These organizations are all controlled by the establishment. The establishment's controlled by the grand conspiracy. The major events of the 20th century were mainly created by secret societies and elite cabal, both wars, the Great Depression, and so forth. They're the ones that are running the show, and that's what we need to know. But the pincer strategy is these organizations you see over and over when you research them, they're tied to the elite.
Right.
Sometimes elite in the media have a relative that's involved in these street groups.
Mm-hmm.
And you see this over and over. So they squeeze us from both sides,
right.
And it's called the pincer strategy.
Thanks
but,
for that.
You know, you were talking about 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 9/11 was carried out by the conspiracy. What the bottom line to the conspiracy's goal is to enslave mankind. If you keep that in mind, everything seems to fit.
Yes,
that's
it does.
That's what the goal here. The police state is going to be essential. In a police state, you have the central control of law enforcement of the military that's running the state.
Yeah, we don't want central. We want localized control that we can actually go back and say, no, you know, that you cannot do this.
That's extremely important. Our police
mm-hmm.
have to stay local.
Yes.
Right now, this proposal, executive order giving licenses to law enforcement. You're not going to get federal money unless,
mm-hmm.
they call it certifications.
Right.
And we can tell you to fire them. That's more federal control over local police.
No,
we
I appreciate that.
This.
Yeah, I
and
totally appreciate that.
And the Insurrection Act, it says that the state has, legislature has mm-hmm. to approve the federal government coming in with the law, with the military. Our president say, no, I can come in without your approval in violation of the law.
Right,
this
I agree.
Really serious stuff.
I agree. Thank you for that. Melissa, we're short on time. So, Melissa?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe we need to come back to this, but I think what's going on in Seattle is very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
They have, in my world, they have seceded from the Union.
They've
got a 3-square block area mm-hmm. that has seceded. And I think Abraham Lincoln told us that the government does have the right to tell them you can't do that.
Well, yes. In fact, if the state, if they're allowing citizens to be violated, I mean, there is, and I remember talking to Chris Ann Hall about that, there is a certain measure that the federal government has in saying, hey, state, you cannot violate the rights of the people. And of course, when they do a takeover like that in the way they're doing it, that is violating other people's rights in favor of this very caustic, toxic group. And the other thing about that is, and we can come back and talk about it because we have to go to a break, but if that were a bunch of patriots doing that, they would have had the overlords of the FBI on their case in 2 seconds, completely outmanned and outnumbered. But it's this group doing it, and they dare not go near? I don't think so. Hold on just a moment. We'll be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
I wish they would have me do a commercial. I'm from the New York area, and we don't trust anybody. But, you know, when you're in pain, you will try anything. And I said, let me try it. And after, I would say, about a month, I was able to walk. And I'm jogging now. I didn't think I'd ever be able to do that again. It was just a case of me not having all the nourishments that a body is supposed to have in my body. I mean, it was really an incredible thing.
Don't wait to see what getting over 10 servings of whole fruits and vegetables every day can do for you. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Start your journey to better health today by calling 1-800-246-8751 or by going to balanceofnature.com. Again, that's balanceofnature.com. And make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code KATE.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
There. Welcome back. Hey, Daly Show. Great music, Melissa. And Melissa. And I welcome you to call in. We're taking your calls in this hour. We want to hear from you and share your expertise because this is the forum to do it. One of the only shows you can actually call in live to. 888-673-1450. I've got Melissa with me. In fact, I will actually take a caller. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. You're on with Melissa. All righty then. Got a little shy. Hi, caller. You're on with Melissa. Go for it.
Yeah, you know, every time I think about all the things that are happening, I always mm-hmm. have to look back in history, and no matter what, it always comes back to 1968.
Mm,
we're back there again
with
this whole thing with the Black Lives Matter. Remember, in 1968, we have Martin Luther King, who's assassinated.
Mm-hmm.
So we have all the things going on with that time.
Right.
We have Wallace, and those guys have formed a third party to actually integrate segregation back in the South, and they win four states in the presidential election. We got a total upset in the election because LBJ drops out, then Kennedy becomes the front runner, and he's assassinated. We also have the Hong Kong flu going on at the same time.
Yeah.
That kills over 100,000 Americans in the same year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the same type of situation going on today. A lot of turmoil, a lot of things happening in the middle of an election.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end of it was also 1968 was the start of a recession that lasted until 1970.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got that basically coming down the pipe, too, at the same time.
Yeah.
And I look at what came out of it. Nixon wins the election. The next year we put a man on the moon. We have Woodstock.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all there is a brighter day ahead. Don't look at this and go, oh, my goodness, it's going to be terrible. How are we going to get through this? Because we would have thought the same thing in 1968. But now we have the ability to look to the future and say it will get better as long as we hold fast to our values and our beliefs. We kept on with the space program. We then elected a president who was more conservative and he was all about policing the America because he saw it was out of control.
Right.
He said, we've got to get police back in control of this country and reined them in at the same time. We no longer in the segregational area.
Mm-hmm.
We had the police with water cannons and dogs that they were sicking on protesters, not rioters, protesters.
Right.
They did. They reformed all that. They got rid of all those bad cops. But it didn't happen in the South.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the problems. We still had to change that.
Right.
And we still have to change that mentality that exists in certain areas and in certain parts of the police force that has to get the idea that they don't work as an elite group of police officers. The SWAT teams, the task force, those are where the problems are at.
Yep.
I don't believe it is with the actual officer who's walking a beat, who's wearing the uniform and meeting the public. It's those who don't meet the public on a regular basis and then feel that they're better than or different than the average uniform-wearing police cruiser-driving officer.
You know what? Amen to what you just said. I hope everybody was listening to that. And what's more interesting, too, is over the course of the last few decades, they are brought in for quote-unquote training purposes on every call one of those local beat cops could do. So it really ticks me off because they're escalating a situation by bringing in
military equipment.
Yeah, I know. And it all plays into each other.
At the end of the Iraq War, we're winding that down. We're handing them equipment that was used by the forces when they invaded Fallujah. They don't need that kind of stuff to go up and down the streets of small town America or even large city America.
Totally agree. Thank you for that. Really appreciate the call, by the way. Go ahead, Melissa.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about the 60s, 1968.
Yeah, that was the year I was born. So it was a great year, vintage year.
Well,
go ahead.
One of the things that I think people either don't know or forget or miss about the peace and protest movement of the 60s was that the people who were out on the streets were not the intellectual leaders of the movement. There was a group of them, Tom Hayden and Bill Ayers among them, that were hardcore Marxist leftists. And they were the intellectual guys.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened, the people out on the street, the hippies and all these other, the protesters against Vietnam, do you know what? Eventually, life caught up to them.
Right.
The American public has kind of a short attention span. This is this summer's big cause celeb,
right?
But is it going to be it's interesting that this happened in Minneapolis. It's not snowing in Minneapolis right now, and it will be by October and November, right? They're not going to be so hot under the collar by then.
Sure.
And that's exactly what happened in the 60s as well. The only thing is, those intellectual leaders did a slow burn, guys like Bill Ayers. Tom Hayden ran for public office in California and was elected. So we can keep our eyes on those people because they're not going to go away. They're young and they're going to be at our colleges, in our universities, and in our businesses for a long time to come. They're going to be educating our kids. So we need to, and that's exactly what those guys did in the 60s.
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, on top of it, we have the fake lockdown or the lockdown on fake premises that's coming as they're pushing this second wave, which isn't happening. And so you've got that on top of all of it. But yeah, I mean, it is kind of crazy how we're reenacting. In fact, in 2015, I actually put up a post on Facebook and it was so funny because it was basically this. This was my post. I think I'm going to have to develop a new four new daily segments for the show called I Can't Make This Stuff Up, Who Is Our Enemy Now, The Professionally Offended Word List Editions of the Day, and whoo, I feel so much safer now. And that was 4 years ago. Like, I'm telling you, I could replay the show every couple of years because it's the same arguments, the same stuff they keep throwing at us, the same stuff, except it's ratcheted up a notch, like you were saying earlier and so brilliantly before. It's in this episode is they just keep moving the goalposts. They just keep ratcheting it up. It's insane.
So yeah. Honestly, my the best thing that we could all do is to initiate this as the summer of love. Because that did more to diffuse the hardcore radicals inside the 1960s movements than anything else.
Well, maybe.
Let's all go to San Francisco and put flowers in our hair.
Oh my gosh. Or it's the year to wake up finally and not give in to it. So all these so all these people that run down and are enraged and they join the riot and they're standing there and they're angry and they're mad. It reminds me of a women's march. They're all mad about something, but nobody can figure out what. And they're angry. And the blanket statement goes out, we're a racist nation. Are we? Do you really notice that? Because I brought up before, you know, all the instances in which, like, let's say Halloween that just happened in October. Do you remember all of the racist acts that took place as all those people out in America went and bought candy for strangers' kids and handed it out? Yeah, I don't remember any racist acts going on. Do you remember the last time you went shopping or traveling or went to a grocery store and everyone black was forced to be at the end of the line or in the movie theater? They got the sucky movie theater and you got the best one with the best sound. Do you remember all that happening in America? No. So we buy into the anger. They ratchet it up. We convince ourselves that we should be angry or we're apologizing for our whiteness. Every couple of years, based on a flat premise that's put out by the media as they tell us how to feel, to say you feel this way. So at some point, even going back to 1968, we better realize how manipulated we are by our press and our government to feel about things, how they want us to feel about things for the outcome that they desire, right?
I just like to know what... Am I saying I'm white and I'm guilty? How does that help anyone else?
Well, we're not, and we shouldn't be. And there, none of that happened in America. All year long, none of that happened. Yet they want us to believe and be enraged that we're a racist nation today. Let's take a caller. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
You're talking about 50 years ago, and I agree with her on a lot of points. Boy, there's a lot of similarities.
Yeah.
Except the crowd that followed the agitators was basically a learned, peaceful, easygoing crowd. And what we were just laughing about, the flower children, yeah, they probably did defuse things. They did get the agitators irritated because they couldn't get them rousted.
Mm.
Why are the kids today so rousted so easily? They show up at conservative rallies and they just scream. Remember that?
Right.
After Trump got elected, they're just kind of unhinged at the start.
Right.
And I was kind of wondering what happened. I know it's education.
Yeah.
And on a post, when I discussed with somebody, I fished up those 12-year-old videos of the school kids being brainwashed into singing praises for Obama.
Yeah.
You recall that?
I do remember that. I do remember
yeah.
the Obama
Obama's
song.
Obama's going to change the
yes,
world.
Beautiful,
yes. Cute little school kids all doing this while wearing T-shirts with teachers smiling evilly.
Yeah, it
These
was sick.
These kids, have, and we're talking about 8, 10-year-olds, it looks like, which now would be in college or in their 20s. They're the ones out there doing this stuff, and their minds are unhinged because that's all they were taught.
Thank you.
They don't
for
have
that.
The educational foundation that
right.
the kids did 50 years ago.
Then they can't
I
tell
fear
the
that
difference.
We might not be able to catch them.
They can't tell. Thank you for the call. That was awesome. They can't tell the difference between fact and opinion anymore because it's also mixed in with the news. News is now opinion. Nobody knows what's actually going on because it's all opinion. And yeah, we've got a brainwashed society that's enraged a lot quicker fuse because now we're trained on emotion and never perspective. So that's a huge, big difference.
Yeah, I think that's a huge difference.
Yeah.
That's why. And that comes from so many social, societal things.
Mm-hmm.
Everything from the everybody wins a trophy.
Right.
Because we don't want anybody to feel bad. The young protesters mm-hmm. needed to feel bad when they were 5, 6, 7, 10.
Yeah.
And understand that you survived that.
Right.
Feeling bad doesn't ruin your life.
Yes.
You know, we all feel bad sometimes and we all move on and then we feel good sometimes.
Right. Life is unfair, but they have to have everything. They want everybody to be treated exactly the same. And that's never going to happen. You can't legislate it. Let's take a real quick caller. Caller, you got about 30 seconds.
Thanks. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I think you guys are really close, but I don't think you've actually hit the nail on the head.
Okay.
And really and truly, you need to understand the more that you look at all of these different groups, and Melissa's absolutely right, they are definitely highly coordinated by an outside force.
Mm-hmm.
But they have been, it's a cult. These fascist, mm-hmm. Marxist people, they have formed a cult in our country, and that's why it is so ingrained. That's why they are screaming from the rooftops everywhere that they go, and that's why the Summer of Love is not going to change the way that they think.
Yeah.
And that we will have to use some type of force to get them gone.
Yeah, I agree.
And people need to stand up and say, you know what? It's almost religious in nature. I mean, how they're having people kneel, how they're having people pay,
mm-hmm.
like a tithe to them almost.
Yep.
You look at indoctrination, it is all there.
Amen, sister.
Because you've got 10% of the population falling for it.
You're exactly right. Thank you. Thank you. In fact, there's so much more to trying to deal with what's going on now because they've ratcheted up so much and they've become these controlled groups. So, yeah, she's right.
Yeah. And it is. It is religious mm-hmm. in its fervor and mm-hmm. its zeal.
Yeah.
These are zealots.
They don't respond to much, except maybe if you take the paycheck away a little bit and you take away some of those puppet strings. But other than that, we're going to have to start. Go ahead.
Yeah, I would be curious to see what happens in Seattle if they shut off all of their ability to communicate with the outside.
Yeah.
Shut off the cell tower, shut off their internet service so that they're getting no press at all.
Yep. I agree. And like I said, if this was a bunch of patriots doing this, they would have already had him taken down and put into prison last week. So it's amazing to me that they let this group do it, yet somebody that's fighting for something else as far as being, you know, like a law-abiding citizen patriot, oh my gosh, we'll throw them in the clink. You know what I'm saying?
Well, all religious martyrs only want one perspective.
Mm-hmm.
They only want one voice to be heard.
Yeah, so true.
I really do. That's a very good metaphor for the whole thing, for exactly what's happening.
Right. Well, I agree. And you know what? What a great hour. And I so love the phone calls that came in. Can I just say? They're great.
Yeah, I know.
They were awesome.
I had a wonderful, it was a great conversation.
They were awesome. From now on, when Melissa's on, we'll take your calls. And I know you guys all have so much to contribute. And that's what's so amazing about this show. It's our show. And it always will be. The show isn't about me or Melissa or any of the co-hosts. It's really just about getting together to make sense of what's going on in America and just telling the truth. That's what this whole show will always be about, because that's what it has to be about. We don't have enough of this going on in America right now. I so appreciate you, Melissa. Thank you.
Thank you, Kate.
Appreciate you, Melissa Smith. All right, I'll be right back with Susan. You're going to want to hang out for this because we're going to be talking about that nurse that brought everything to light. Oh, you got to hear this one. You have to hear this, as a matter of fact, because you have to listen to what she says about working in the hospitals under COVID as they push this second scandemic coming our way. That's not one. Kate Daly Show, if you don't get the Kate Daly Radio, if you don't get the link. I mean, if you don't get this next hour. There you go.